ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And I'm not really into winning an argument anymore. Sometimes I am, you know. Bears are in first, Packers are not. So I won that argument this week. At least for today, for right now. But I want to see them saved. I could care less if I lose the argument. If they come to saving faith, hallelujah, right? That's like with this whole outreach next week. I'm not looking to argue with people. If people get mad and start yelling, what are you doing here? Hey, God bless you, man. That's fine. You don't have to listen to us. You don't have to take anything. That's fine. I'll pray for you. I will. But I'm praying right now that God would soften the hearts of the people that are going to cross our paths so that as the Word of God, the seed of God's Word, they absorb into their lives, it begins to take root and they grow and they get saved. That's what it's all about. John in 1 John chapter 2 warns us of this opposition to God. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now some look at that and go, oh, look what Pastor Joe just said. I can't love the beauty of nature. I can't love the sunset. I can't love anything in this world. No, that's not what I said, and it's not what John said. The word world is cosmos. And yeah, it could speak of people, it could speak of the earth in general, but in this context, it speaks of those things that are in opposition to God, just like we've been talking about. You know, John tells us that God is light, there's no darkness in him at all. And so if we are walking in opposition to God, we're not walking in the light, but we're walking in darkness. We're not walking with God, we're not following him. And we may not like that, but it's clear, you know, Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. You have to choose. And if you make yourself a friend of this world that is in opposition to God, you're at war with God. Isn't that interesting? And for Lot, man, what a tremendous pull the world had on him, right? We don't have to worry about that, do we? Of course we do. There is a tremendous pull that the world has upon us. And it's easy to be drawn into its destructive ways, especially, you know, when ministry, when service unto the Lord is difficult, it's hard. You know, the world wants our time, our attention, our resources, our money. And we need to be drawn towards God, spend time with him. And, you know, John tells us one of the things that Satan will use to draw us away from God, from where God wants us to live, where he wants us to walk, is the lust of the flesh. Now, the word lust is not necessarily a bad word. It's speaking of craving or a passionate desire. You know, I have a passionate desire for, you know, Culver's ice cream. It's not bad. It's not evil. Some may think so, but I don't. I love it. But it depends on the context here. And obviously, what John's writing is not good. He uses It's used negatively here because the Greek word flesh, sarx, speaks of carnality. And the depraved nature of man is governing his life, his reason, his will, his emotions by his carnal instincts, by his flesh. How do we know if something's right or wrong? It's really pretty simple. By God's word opened up to us by his Spirit. And here, the person's given over to satisfying his fleshly desires, and he's not concerned about anything else. I'm not saying as Christians we don't have those struggles. We do. But we are convicted by when we go down those paths. and you look, man, people who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, sexual sins, and so on. It's all appealing to the flesh. And do they ever satisfy the flesh? Think about that one. They never do. Isn't that interesting? We think, if I only have this, if I only take this drug or do this, it's going to satisfy me, and it never does. You know who does? Jesus. So the lust of the flesh. Then John speaks of the lust of the eyes, and that's just what it means what it says. Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? You see, he purposed in his heart that he would not look upon a woman lustfully. He took a stand with his eyes, and he refused to look or take a second look. David said in Psalm 101:3, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Isn't it interesting? David didn't have, you know, television, cable TV, you know, satellite TV, none of that. And what does he say? I'm not going to set anything wicked before my eyes. You mean there were wicked things back then? Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't put things in front of your eyes that are going to cause you to lust after them. Be wise. The lust of the eyes. And the last one that John speaks of that Satan uses to tempt us away from God, to away from where God wants us to live, is pride of life. Boasting, bragging, impressing people with what you have done. Apart from God, we can do nothing. All our boasting is in what he has done. So there's no room for pride in our life. It's the thing that brought Lucifer down, right? And yet so many Christians want the attention. You know, I told you this before, several years ago, and I'm embarrassed by this because I allowed this man to come here and do worship for us. But he's a popular guy. Popular musician, and invited him in, and he was more than willing to come. And, you know, why people do this, but when I'm walking up to pray, do the opening prayer, people always throw things at me. Not literally, but they say things. And I'm like, I'm coming up to pray, man. I don't have time to deal with this. You see what time it is? But they do. And if you've done that, that's fine. But this is what this person said to me. I'm walking up here now. I'm getting ready to pray. They said, don't forget to tell them that I'm in the Christian Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Music Hall of Fame. You're coming up to do worship. And you want me to tell everyone how popular you are, that you are in the Christian Rock and Roll Music Hall of Fame. And so the worship is not going to be about God. It's going to be about you. I just about died right there. And I guess I'm a little older now. Some say maybe crabby. I don't know. That would have been it. I would have said, Art, could you just come up here and do some worship? And we're done. I'm not putting up with that anymore. You see, it's all about him. As soon as we let pride in, that's it. I asked him to do worship songs to engage us in the worship of God so our hearts and minds could be focused on him. What did he do? All his songs that weren't worship songs. And I learned my lesson. Look at all that God has given to us. All that he's given to us. And shouldn't we give all the glory and honor to him? Not to look how great I am. Look how amazing our God is. Absolutely. And so for us, man, let's put our investment in the things of God. Let's live where he wants us to live. Why invest in this world that's in opposition to God and all these things aren't going to last? And D.L. Moody's tombstone kind of says it all. He who does the will of God abides forever. Pretty simple. These 2.5 tribes were living outside of the land of promise, outside of the perfect will of God for their lives. And really, they are a picture of Christians who refuse to enter into the land of promise or to enter in that spirit-filled life, that walk of faith. And they are content to remain on the border, you might say, of the promised land. But man, like I said, there's consequences. These two and a half tribes were the first to go into captivity because they lost the protection of the nation. And for Christians who live outside of the promised land, they're outside of the protection of really the body of Christ, and it's easy for them to be taken captive because they're walking in the power of the flesh and not in the power of God's Spirit. In Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 21, turn there for a second. Ephesians 5, we're going to pick up in verse 15, where Paul said this, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." In other words, Paul's saying, you know, wake up, pay attention, walk circumspectly, the days are evil, it's dangerous out there. Don't be drawn into it. We have to be wise with the things we watch, what's on the internet, our relationships at work. And yeah, walk carefully, take advantage of the days we're living in, the opportunities that come our way. That's the whole thing with this Wendigo Fest. We're taking advantage of an opportunity we have. The enemy means it for evil, for destruction, to draw people away from God. What are we going to do, cower in fear? Oh my God, it's so bad. Are you kidding me? Who's the creator of heaven and earth? Almighty God. Can he handle this? Absolutely. Let's see the victory that he gives us. But you have to walk by faith. You have to get out there. You have to actually talk with people or hand them a gospel tract. Pray for them. Whatever. We have to be wise. And man, it is a walk of faith as we're obedient to the will of God for our lives. His will, not mine, not yours. And what's exciting to me, as you draw close to God, as you're following him, you know what happens? His will becomes my will. I desire to follow where he's leading. That is the awesome thing, guys. And I really don't want my will. I've had enough of living in the flesh all my life. I see the problems it brings into my life. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to be Spirit-led. It doesn't mean life is easy, but boy, it's exactly where God wants you to be. Walking by faith. Why live in the wilderness? Why live outside the promised land that God has for us? Spurgeon warned us with these words. He said this, "The course of rebellion against God may be very gradual, but it increases in rapidity as you progress in it. And if you begin to run down the hill, the ever-increasing impetus, will send you down faster and faster to destruction. You Christians ought to watch against the beginning of worldly conformity. I do believe that the growth of worldliness is like strife, which is the letting out of water. Once you begin, there is no knowing where you will stop." I sometimes get this question put to me concerning certain worldly amusements. May I do so-and-so? I'm very sorry whenever anyone asks me that question because it shows that there is something wrong or would not be raised at all. If a person's conscience lets him say, well, I can go to A, he will very soon go on to B, C, D, E, and all through all the letters of the alphabet. When Satan cannot catch us with a big sin, he will try a little one. It does not matter to him as long as he catches his fish, what bait he uses. Beware of the beginning of evil, for many who bade fair to go right have turned aside and perished among the dark mountains in the wide field of sin. I think that's exactly what was going on with these two and a half tribes on the east side of the Jordan River. They had very good intentions. They really wanted to follow God, but they were so far away from God. Where was the tabernacle? It was in the promised land, on the west side of the Jordan River. Where was the temple going to be built? In the promised land, on the west side of the Jordan River. Where were they? On the east side of the Jordan River. That's a huge boundary, that Jordan River. not real easy to cross. And I'm sure they had, again, all kinds of reasons why they should live there. But the biggest one they didn't have was this is what God wanted for them. We shouldn't be satisfied in our Christian walk if we're not where God wants us to be. We should be growing, maturing in the faith, not living on the outskirts of faith, pressing forward in the will of God. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3 for a minute. If you're still in Ephesians, it's just one book over. And this is what Paul said, this great man of faith in Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Here was this, in my mind, the spiritual giant, Paul, the apostle, right? And he's not satisfied with his spiritual life. He's saying, I have to press on. There's a lot of things that can hinder me. I know where God wants me to go, but there's a lot of things in my past that are drawing me back. But he says, you know what? I can't change that. There's nothing I can do about that back there. What I can do is press on towards that upward calling that's in Christ Jesus. Keep my eyes focused on Him. And that should be for all of us, right? You know, we may start out strong, but in the end we finish weak or not at all for some. But it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish, right? The race of faith. Let me share this story with you. And I'll tell you, this is an amazing story. I can't even imagine this person doing that. But no matter what was thrown at this guy, he kept moving towards the finish line. This guy's name, and I'm probably screwing it up, but Akwari, he was competing in the Olympic marathon in Mexico City. And about the 19-kilometer mark into the 42-kilometer race, there was a jostling between some of the runners. And this guy fell, and he didn't fall, just fall. He fell badly. He wounded his knee, and his shoulder hit the pavement, hard against the pavement. His leg was bleeding. His knee was dislocated. This is the 19-kilometer mark of a 42-kilometer race. The medical staff urged him to withdraw. I mean, just stop, man. You're injured. You can't finish. But he continued running. And it was not really running. It was a mixture of walking and limping at points. He finished last among the 57 competitors who completed the race. The winner of the marathon completed the marathon in 2 hours and 20 minutes and 26 seconds. He was over an hour later than them. 3 hours, 25 minutes, 27 seconds. With two good legs, it took me 3 hours and 34 minutes to finish a marathon. Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine the pain he endured to finish that race. And by the time he finished, you know, the sun had set. There's only a few thousand people left in the stadium, but he crossed the finish line and a cheer came from the small crowd. There was a television crew also still there. They were diverted from a medal ceremony and they caught this courageous man's agonizing finish. But that's not the end of the story. When he was interviewed later and asked why he ignored the advice to pull out and continued running, this is what this man said. My country did not send me 10,000 miles just to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. Wow. Of the 75 who started the 1968 Olympic marathon, 18 others pulled out. 18 of them. And what's interesting is no one even remembers the name of the gold medal winner that year. It was a guy from Ethiopia, Mamo Waldi. Don't even remember that. But here is a man that many remember. Some say that the honor given to this man is one of the greatest honors ever given to a last place finisher. But he finished the race. An amazing story. He could have given up, right? I mean, he had every reason to give up. We have good reasons. But he said, my country did not send me 10,000 miles just to start the race. They sent me to finish the race. Let me ask you this. Did the Lord place you in this race of faith just to start it? Absolutely not. He wants you to finish and to finish strong. And we have to ask ourselves, am I going to finish strong like Daniel or be a Demas? Be drawn back to the world. Am I going to finish strong like Joshua or am I going to be like a Judas? You see, we have choices where we're going to live and how we're going to finish this race of faith. Remember King Saul, first king of Israel. He started out strong, but he finished weak, and he wasted so many opportunities. And in the end, he finished in disobedience. These are his words. Listen to how sad they are from 1 Samuel 26:21. He said, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. But it didn't change his life. It didn't change where he wanted to live. There is another man named Saul. We know him as Paul the Apostle. And he finished far differently. At the end of his life in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is what he was able to say. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul knew his life was coming to an end. They're pulling up the tent spikes, the tent was coming down, the sails were, you know, being drawn in. This was it. Nero was going to put him to death for his faith in Christ. What he is doing here is he's encouraging Timothy, look at my life. Look at how I finished. You do the same. Don't give up. Fight strong. Fight that good fight of faith. Don't compromise what you believe. And again, he finished strong because the Lord didn't put Paul in this race just to start the race, but to finish it and finish strong. He kept the faith. I love what he wrote in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord, right? Absolutely. Harry Ironside put it like this. He said, let us ask our own hearts, what kind of a Christian am I? Am I living all out for God, or am I dwelling on the border of the world? We died with Christ at Calvary when he died in our place. Then we were crucified with him. Is this a reality to our souls? When Christians come to me and ask if there is any harm in this and that, something that pertains to the east side of the Jordan, something in which the world indulges, I say, why don't you ask if there would be any harm in going to a prayer meeting? Or they answer, anybody knows there is no harm in going to a prayer meeting. Well, that's the answer. They would not think of asking the question if there was no doubt in their minds. When it comes to something of which you stand in doubt, you may be sure it will never help you spiritually. It will never help to make Christ more precious to you. It will never make you love his word more. It will never enable you to triumph over sin. A great many of these things may not be wicked, but are just bordering on the edge of the world, as it were. Wow. So where are you living? Are you living on the west side of the Jordan River in the promised land, committed to God, his perfect will for your life? Or are you living on the east side of the Jordan River, outside the promised land, and not totally committed to what the Lord has for you, whatever the reason may be? And we have many reasons why. But we have to tune our wills with his. We have to take those steps to cross the Jordan and keep treading out territory that he has for us. Knitting our hearts to his. Devoting our minds to his word. And take possession of the land that God has given to us. And I'll close with this, what this marathon runner said, and I'll paraphrase it a little to fit what we should be saying in regard to the race we're in, this race of faith. My God did not die for my sins and adopt me into the family of God just to start the race. He sent me to finish the race and to finish strong. And I'll leave you with this. Where are you living this morning? Let's pray. Father, these are challenging words to all of us, because I think Every day we get up, there's that challenge. Where are we going to live? Are we going to follow you today, fully, totally committed to you? Or are we going to be just content living on the other side of the Jordan, outside that promised land, that Spirit-filled life? Lord, give us a passion to draw close to you and to follow you all the days of our life. That's our heart's desire. And Lord, if any are struggling here this morning, and I'm sure we all do from time to time, help us, encourage us to live that Spirit-filled life that is totally surrendered to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.